Kalimera. Good morning. Luke's the name, the gospel writer. I'm a physician by trade, so I'm kind of a science guy. I need to see it to believe it. So when I set out to write my account of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, I made sure to spend quite a bit of time investigating all the facts. I interviewed people, talked to them. In fact, I've even brought one of those eyewitnesses here today. This is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, from what I hear, Mary's story has touched the hearts of countless people throughout the centuries. Yet as remarkable as her story is, Mary, well, she was about as common as any young lady could be. Mary grew up in a small Jewish village called Nazareth. Her parents barely able to scrape by. Even though her family was very poor, spiritually, Mary was incredibly rich. Her family loved God and His Word. They cherished His promises of grace, forgiveness, and one day, rescue from all the disappointments and troubles of this world.
Childhood. I grew up listening to my father tell me stories about the greatness of our people, the chosen people. I remember learning about the glory of Israel, of David, Solomon, and their vast kingdom. As I memorized Psalms and learned about the promise of God to send a Messiah, I would look around and see powerful Roman soldiers. I hated their arrogance and cruelty, and I would pray for the coming of a Messiah who would restore our nation and the glory we once had.
Mary's life story collided with God's story of salvation when she was just a teenager. Mary's parents, as was the custom, had made all the legal arrangements for Mary to be married. Women married quite a bit younger in those days. She was betrothed to a man named Joseph, who was the carpenter in Nazareth. Now, this betrothal, according to the custom, well, it meant that Mary and Joseph were legally married, even though they weren't living together yet. You can see they did things quite a bit differently back then than your world does today. The betrothal lasted about a year.
Joseph was the most amazing man I ever met. He was kind, gentle, and handsome. I was so excited when my parents told us we were to be betrothed. Now, I had a dream that really could come true. A family of my own and a carpenter for a husband who was building a room above his family's home so we would have a place to live when we got married. A place that would be just ours.
Life doesn't always play out as we dream it will. One night as Mary was saying her prayers, the angel Gabriel appeared to her and changed her life forever.
I was so frightened. An angel visiting me, Mary, a poor girl in Nazareth? Imagine being in my place.
The angel said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." The word the angel used is very close to the word we translate, grace. You see, Mary, she understood what the angel was saying to her. She had been taught that she, along with all God's faithful covenant people, lived every day of their lives under the undeserved grace and the love of their God. God had sworn by His own name that He would always watch over and care for His people. But the next words the angel said to Mary went way beyond that. You see, the angel told Mary that she was about to conceive, give birth to a son, that his name would be Jesus. Yeshua, which in Hebrew means Yahweh, the Lord saves. Now, as you might imagine, it took a little while for all of this to sink in. But Mary was definitely familiar with all the concepts the angel was sharing with her. He will be called great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. These were songs that Mary had been singing all of her life.
And I realized that the angel was telling me that I would become the mother of this Messiah. Wait a second. A mother? I'd never slept with Joseph. How could this be? The angel told me, nothing is impossible with God. I can't tell you how many times I've come back to those words in my life. But I was going to be more than just a mother. I had been chosen by the Lord to become the mother of the promised Savior. This was, whoa.
Now, please understand, Mary did not doubt, not like that Zechariah guy we met a couple weeks ago. The angel's message was just, it was so wonderful, beyond words, beyond imagining. You can understand that she might have a few questions, like the most practical one, how in the world could this even be? She had never been intimate with Joseph or any man. So the angel patiently explained to her that the Holy Spirit would come upon her, that the power of the Most High would overshadow her, that the Holy One to be born would be called the Son of God. In plain English, the angel told her that the Holy Spirit would plant God's Son in her womb. The second question, probably even more wondrous for Mary, why in the world would God choose her?
The Lord Almighty was telling me that I would become the mother of his Son, the promised Savior. What could I say? I couldn't imagine why he chose me. But he did. All I could do was humbly bow before his will. I told the angel, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. May it be to me as you have said.
May it be to me as you have said. I don't think Mary could have spoken any more powerful or encouraging words. For us too, life is often a mystery. Why, God, are you allowing this struggle, this trial, this sadness into my life? Why are you asking me to speak up at this point in time, or to make this kind of sacrifice, or to obey your will, even though everyone else thinks I'm crazy for doing it? The truth of the matter is, we are not our own. We were bought at a price. We were formed and fashioned for a purpose. Every day, God prepares something in advance for us to do. Good deeds, encouraging words, heavenly wisdom to share. And yeah, sometimes God places a door in front of us that if it were our choice, it would be the last door we would walk through. And yet he has a plan. And when we walk through that door, amazing things will happen. It didn't take long for Mary to figure out that an awful lot of heartache stood on the other side of the door that God had asked her to walk through.
And then it hit me. Joseph, my parents, my friends, everyone else who knew me and my family in the village, what would they say? How could I explain this? Impregnated by the Holy Spirit? My child, the Son of God? Who would believe such a thing? Why would they believe me? This will break Joseph's heart. I can't imagine what this will do to my parents. God, what are you asking of me?
It was difficult for Mary, for Joseph, for her family, for everyone. And Joseph, being the gentleman he was, decided to divorce Mary quietly, though that would not spare her from the shame and the ridicule that she would experience. There was one person, however, one, at least at the beginning, who believed her, and that was her cousin, Elizabeth. Elizabeth's words brought encouragement and strength to Mary when she needed it the most. Elizabeth said to her, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. As we make our life journey, wherever that journey may take us, that is what we need to do too. Just believe. Believe that this God who sent his own son, his only son, to suffer and die on a cross to be our Savior, that this God truly loves us. that he cares for us deeply, that he has a plan for us, even when we can't see it. This kind of faith, it isn't easy. It's not a just make up your mind to believe something kind of faith. This is believing in things that we cannot even see. The scripture says that this kind of faith comes from the Holy Spirit alone. In fact, Paul will say in 1 Corinthians, no one can say Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit. And later he will explain the process that the Holy Spirit uses us to bring us this faith when he says in Romans chapter 10, faith comes through hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. As you hear the word this Christmas season and throughout every season of your life, know that God is seeking to use this word to bless you with this gift called faith. And it is an incredible gift. It will give you confidence for your life, light and vision for your path, hope and assurance for the life to come. This faith opens up doors and moves mountains. Over and over again, this faith will allow you to see the wondrous and amazing things that God is doing in your life every day.
God, in his mercy, did the most amazing thing for me. He sent an angel to Joseph. The angel told him everything, that the child would indeed be God's son, that he would be the savior of the world, and that his name would be Jesus. Then Joseph took me home as his wife. Suddenly, I wasn't alone in this anymore. It felt so good to have someone know and understand, someone who I could rejoice with, because what God had asked me to do was an amazing thing.
Mary was so overwhelmed with joy, she sang a song in response to God's call for her to be the mother of his son. That song has come to be known throughout the centuries as the Magnificat. In it, she sings,
my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation.
The word in Mary's song that's translated glorifies literally means to magnify, to make large. You see, Mary saw how big God really was in his mercy, his love, his grace, and his power. My friend, the bigger God is to you, the more peace and joy you will experience in your life. Unfortunately, the world we live in, it makes God really small. It views God as too old, too weak, too outmoded or irrelevant for your modern scientific age. What's also sad is that we can also make God small in our own lives when we see him as just a sentimentality or a crutch or someone who can add a little respectability to the important occasions of life like a funeral or a wedding. We make God small when we put him up there on the shelf just in case we might get ourselves into trouble that we can't handle ourselves. Or we make God small when we compartmentalize him, slot him into just 1 hour of our busy week. God's gracious intervention with Mary did not take place during that 1 hour a week that she sat in church. It happened in her home. And the same is true with Elizabeth and her confirmation of this fact. God is for every day of your life, every hour, every need, every thought, every word, and every deed. Magnify God in your heart and in your soul, in whatever circumstance you find yourself in life. And then instead of being paralyzed with fear and anxiety, you will be able to rejoice in God your Savior, just like Mary.
There was one thing I wondered about as I waited. The prophets had foretold that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, but I lived in Nazareth, 70 miles away. Then it happened. God was working here, too. The great Roman Emperor, Caesar Augustus, decreed that a census would take place. In order to be counted, Joseph and I would have to travel to Bethlehem.
Now that journey from Galilee to Bethlehem was always a difficult journey. But now, Mary, being nearly 9 months pregnant, that journey must have seemed like an incredible burden. What's worse yet is when they finally arrived in Bethlehem, they found that every guest room had already been filled.
I had expected the Lord, to prepare a special place for the Messiah to be born. But the only place for us was a stable. Once again, I couldn't help but wonder, had God forgotten me? But then my child was born, and one look into my baby's precious face, and all my frustrations melted away.
Praise God, huh, for those moments when he gives us a glimpse of the wondrous things he is doing in our lives. Those truly are precious moments. Now we know how the story continues. There were shepherds that night that came from the fields around Bethlehem, and they worshiped the Christ child. They told of how a heavenly messenger had appeared to them and told them that the Savior had been born. They saw a whole choir of angels filling up the night sky with their glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men.
All of this was just so amazing. Everything that was once so dark and hard to see, it was suddenly so clear. At least for a little while, I felt certain that God had not forgotten me, and I would keep all these amazing things and hide them away in my heart and would ponder them over and over again for the rest of my life. Because even now, I wasn't sure how the story was going to end.
Mary got a hint of where the story was going just a short time later. 40 days after the birth of Jesus, Joseph and Mary took their firstborn son to the temple to do what the law required, to dedicate their child. And there in the temple, a man came up to them, a man named Simeon. And he took the baby in his arms and he praised God for allowing him to see his Savior before his death. And I discovered later that God had made that promise to him that he would see his Savior. It was then that Simeon told Mary and Joseph that this child was destined to cause the rising and falling of many in Israel, and to be a sign that was spoken against, revealing the thoughts of many hearts.
Then ominously he said to me, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." I couldn't help but feeling a cold chill as he said that. And even as the old widow Anna spoke for joy at seeing the Messiah, I felt a darkness within me.
This darkness would continue to grow as Mary watched her son carry out his public ministry. Instead of attracting all kinds of powerful people and taking his rightful place as he taught in the temple, Mary watched as her son alienated the priests and the other religious leaders. Imagine how her heart ached with worry for her son. Imagine the horror she experienced when the events of Holy Week began to unfold.
I have never felt so confused or heartbroken. He's going to be crucified? No, Lord, this cannot be. And when I saw the welts in his back and the blood dripping from his nail-pierced hands and feet, as I heard him gasp for breath, I knew this was the sword piercing my soul. God, how could this happen? This is your son. Where is his kingdom? Have you forsaken us? But you know that wasn't the end. God hadn't deserted Jesus or me. 3 days later, I saw him alive again. Death wasn't the end for Jesus. It was his victory.
Jesus' moment of glory came when he obeyed his Father's will. He died for Mary's sins, for mine, and for yours as well. This baby, he was born under such peculiar, unusual circumstances, would become the greatest gift that this world has ever seen. My friends, whatever circumstances you find yourself in life, no matter how crazy or confusing or how impossible the situation may seem, remember the words of the angel. Nothing is impossible for God. And then with Mary, magnify the Lord in your heart. May he be the biggest thing in all the world to you this Christmas and always. And finally, like Mary, let's confidently and humbly bow to the Lord's will for our lives, no matter what path he may choose to take us down.